Today we want to think on the subject, A Message of a Stone. Now, we're going to talk about the resurrection today. And a week before, we studied the triumphal entry. And you remember during the triumphal entry, a multitude had gathered together and were crying out, Hosanna! Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Glory in the highest. And in that multitude, the Pharisees told Jesus, Rebuke thy disciples. Tell them to stop. And then we remember in Luke 19:40 what Jesus said to them. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. In other words, if these did not praise him, the stones would. However, the stones were very silent that day. And on the morning of the resurrection, there was another stone, the one that had been rolled in front of the tomb where Jesus was buried. It was rolled back, and the tomb was empty. Though it did not literally speak, yet it gave a powerful message that we want to think on today, and it speaks even to us yet today. First of all, there's the message of an open tomb. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 to 60, we read, When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered to him. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and then departed. Now, in that day, the dead were most of the time placed in a tomb. It was the place of the dead. And today, we place the body of a dead person in a casket and bury it in the ground and put a grave marker at the head. Then, at that time, many were buried in a cave, in a place cut out of the rock. And that's how it was with Jesus. This was where he was buried, was cut out of a rock with a large stone rolled in front of the door. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, we read, At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. When the women arrived early that morning, they were worried about who would roll the stone away so that they could enter in and anoint the body of Jesus with spices. What they were unable to do themselves, God did in a moment. He sent an earthquake. An angel rolled back the stone, and at that moment, death lost its victory. Death could not hold its victim. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, we read this, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? You see, Jesus did not need a stone moved to get out. He could have gone through the stone, but the stone was rolled back simply and it simply revealed that the tomb was empty. Jesus had risen. Though people still die, the door is still open for every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ, and hell cannot claim the believer because it is open forever for every believer. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, we read this. 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. But then in verse 20 we read, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept, or in other words, the first person that assures that every believer after that will also rise. And then verse 22, as for in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, because Adam sinned way back in the beginning, every sin entered, and every person is born a sinner. And unless they receive Christ, they all die in their sin. But in Christ, every believer shall be made alive. So there was the message of the open tomb. Now, second, there's the message of a rest provided. Going back to Matthew 28, verse 2, we read this. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and then notice, and sat upon it. You see, sitting speaks of rest. Work is activity, whether it involves walking or running or movement of some kind, but sitting speaks of rest. And the angel sat quietly after he rolled back the stone, showing that the work of redemption was complete and done forever. And a message is shown here. We can come to Christ also and find rest in Him. And rest here speaks of peace and no anxiety. So when we know the Lord as our Savior, we can have deep peace in our lives and don't need to be filled with worry and anxiety, because a rest is provided for each person who receives Christ as Savior. Going back in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, we read this. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then when we turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 9, we read this. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Yes, because Christ rose, the dead also shall rise again, and a glorious rest is provided for every believer who is saved. A glorious rest is provided in heaven. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, the Bible tells us about every unbeliever, those that do not know Christ as their Savior. It says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast or the Antichrist and his image and whoso receiveth the mark of his name. Now, even though this is talking about the great tribulation and people who worship and follow the Antichrist, yet what it says is will be true of every unbeliever, every person who does not receive Jesus as their Savior. But notice now Revelation 14, verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." So when we get to heaven, we will have eternal rest, and our works do follow us mean that everything that we have done for the Lord here on earth will be rewarded when we get to heaven. Now, third, there's the message of a boundary established. The message of a boundary. And in Matthew 28, verses 4 to 6, we read this, "And for fear the keepers did shake." That was the soldiers guarding the tomb after Jesus was buried. "And they became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women that had come to the tomb, Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified, but he is not here, for he is risen." Now first there was the earthquake, and then an angel rolled the stone away and sat upon it. On one side were the soldiers who had been guarding the tomb, and they were so frightened and filled with fear that they fell to the ground and were just as dead men. But on the other side were the women who had come to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. And so that stone was a boundary. On one side it was the living, those that knew Christ and believed him as their Savior. And the other side were those who were dead in sin yet. On the one side were those who loved the Lord, and on the other side were those who hated the Lord. On the one side there were saints, on the other side sinners. On the one side his own people, and on the other side those who were enemies. And on the one side there was brightness, and the other side there was darkness. You remember back in the Old Testament, when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he had come to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians, they were sorry that they had let the Israelites go, and they followed after. And they were going to capture them and take them back to Egypt. Now, God sent a pillar of fire between the Israelites and the Egyptians' army that were following. And it gave light, that pillar of fire gave light to the Israelites, but it brought darkness to the Egyptians. And the two were separated the entire night, even though there was that pillar of light. Now, the empty tomb has always been a dividing line or a boundary. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we read this. Romans 10:9. And it says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so to speak, on the one side is those who are in the world, and on the other side are those who believe and receive Christ as Savior. And on the other side are those who reject and have want nothing to do with salvation. So we need to ask ourselves the question, on which side are we? Have we trusted Christ as our Savior? In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says this, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, this isn't saying that we are saved by baptism, but the baptism is a sign. When the person being baptized goes under the water, it's a picture of Christ dying and Christ then coming up out of the water is a picture of Christ being raised again. But it's also, when we go under the water, it's a picture of us being dead to sin or in our sin. And when we come up out of the water, it's a picture of us rising out of the water, out of death, to newness of life. And so on the one side, there's the Christians who are walking in newness of life. And on the other side, concerning Christians, there's Christians who are carnal and backslidden. Now, on which side are we? Are we living for the Lord completely, or are we saved but just living for the world and getting what we can out of the world? So there's a line in between. Now, fourthly, there's a message of judgment that is secured. Going back to Matthew chapter 28, verses 4 and 5, and we read this earlier, but notice again, and for fear of him, the angel, the keepers, or the soldiers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, do not be afraid, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. The soldiers were no longer jeering and mocking, and were no longer those big, tough, brave men. But now they were so afraid that they were laying on the ground as if they were dead. Now, why were they doing that? Well, they had nothing to do with Jesus. They were only there guarding. But another reason is because the person that they lived for and followed, Satan, had been defeated when Jesus rose. You see, when Jesus rose, Satan was judged and his doom was secured. In John chapter 12, verse 31, we read this, John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And Jesus there is referring to Satan, the prince of this world. So when Jesus rose from the grave, even though Satan thought because Jesus was crucified and died that he was victorious, now when Jesus rose from the grave, Satan was defeated. And that was an indication that his time is short. And one day at the end of time, God the Father is going to cast Satan into the lake of fire, into hell. And so the master, the head of these wicked men, the soldiers that guarded the tomb, was defeated, and his sentence was pronounced. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to his to the working of his mighty power, now notice, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And then we also read in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The empty tomb announced to every sinner that judgment day is coming, and it's sure. So one day every sinner will stand before Christ to be judged, and there he will finally acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of all, and he will admit his awful guilt, and he will recognize that the sentence to go to an eternal hell is his just deserve. Also, because Christ rose victorious over the grave, every believer will one day rise up from the grave. This message also declares that one day all sin will be put away forever, and we will live in heaven with the Lord Jesus, and we will not experience any temptation or any kind of illness or anything that's a result of sin. We will have perfect bodies like the Lord Jesus as we're in heaven. So we need to ask ourselves this Easter day, where do we stand? Have we come to Christ for forgiveness and rest? Have we personally confessed our sin and received Jesus as our Savior? Are we standing on the side of righteousness and going to enter an eternal heaven? And we believe the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming again one day, and will we be ready for Christ's return? We will be if we've received Christ as our Savior and our sin is all forgiven and we're a child of God and we're living in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you that Jesus died for our sin and paid its penalty, but then 3 days later he rose again to newness of life, and because Jesus died, our sin was paid for, but because he rose again, we can experience newness of life. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody listening to this message who has never made that decision yet to receive Christ, I pray that today they would make that decision and become a child of God and know for sure that they're going to heaven and that they'll live forever with him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.